The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and he watched Jesus walk by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what was said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translates teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying and stayed with him for that day. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translates Peter. The Gospel of the Lord.
The gospel text which we have today comes from the book of John, and it tells us how John's church remembers the call of the first disciples of Jesus. Now, if you look at the other gospels, they remember it quite differently. Matthew chapter 4 and Mark in chapter 1, remember the call of the first disciples saying that Jesus walked along the shores of the Sea of Galilee and he saw the fishermen repairing their nets or fixing their nets after fishing, and he calls them Peter, Andrew, James, and John. The notion of renaming Peter as Cephas, that comes much later, way back in Matthew's gospel, out in chapter 16, comes much later, and comes as part of the transfiguration event. Now, Luke's gospel has still a different remembrance. Chapter 5 there in Luke, you have the disciples go fishing, and they have a miraculous catch of fish. And Peter says, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And that's when Jesus calls Peter and James and John. That's mentioned quite differently in Luke. Now, what we have today is the Gospel of John remembering the call of the first disciples. The second little background on this is that it's clear that John is writing for Greeks, because when he says, "Rabbi," it's translated as teacher, didaskalos in Greek. And we have found the Messiah, which is translated Christ, the Christ, Christos. So clearly he is translating the Hebrew into Greek, which means he is speaking to a Greek people, Greek-speaking people. There are other background things in John that are unique to John. The notion of vocation is the essential point of this text. And it prompts us to reflect on our own vocation call and what it means to be called into a vocation. The sense of vocation will come to a person only in a time of questioning, a time of wonderment. It's clear that the first followers of Jesus here in the Gospel of John were originally the followers of John the Baptist. And so it's a second call, it's a second vocation call from John the Baptist to following Jesus, the Messiah. The elements of vocation have various ingredients, such as I think vocation will come to us only when we have some kind of an experience of poverty. In prosperity, and when everything is full and everything is satisfying, it's more difficult to sense a vocation call. When we question things and you wonder and you find that life is incomplete and that all the consolations of the world will not satiate the hungers of the soul, it's then we begin to sense a vocation call. It's the language of the soul. It's not the language of the world. It's a movement deep inside of us that prompts us to look for something more profound, something deeper, something that will satisfy the hungers of the soul. Native Americans said, "Enter the cave of the heart. The truth lies within." It's only when this happens that we become vocation-driven. We're searching for a deeper understanding of life. And it means we must leave something behind. We have to separate ourselves from something, and we must go into an experience which is unknown. Walk a journey we haven't walked before. And this is the great act of faith. And it happens not once in life, but many times, because vocation is not static. Vocation is alive, dynamic, and occurs and recurs many times in our lives. So the elements of vocation are elements that lead us to freedom, a certain kind of freedom of the spirit. This week, I had a birthday this week, and I began to reflect on the meaning of vocation. Now, in theology, there is a concept called fundamental option. It's complicated, but in simple form, it means I make a life statement. Now, I can flavor this, change this, but I have to keep renewing a certain kind of life statement. Now, I'll fail, and we'll sin, and we'll make mistakes, but we still follow the fundamental statement of who we are in vocation. Now, I wondered about that this week, since I'm in the second half of life. You'd never know that, but I am actually in the second half of life. And I spent most of the day by myself, into the evening, just reflecting on the meaning of my life and what vocation really means to me today. The first half of life, we're driven by ideals of law. We're institutional in our thinking. We're achieving, we're conquering, we're fulfilling ambitions. There's a certain engagement in life, in the first half of life, that can be very consuming. But it's all geared toward progress, achievement, reaching some level of ambition, perhaps. That was very much part of the first half of my life and vocation. It was rooted in law, keeping laws, the guilt of sin, which is seen as a breaking of a law. And then in the second half of life, the notion of vocation takes on a whole different script. The second half of life, vocation has to do with relationship. Vocation has to do with the law of love rather than the law of legalism. And in the second half of life, having stayed with Jesus, now when John's Gospel said they stayed with Jesus for that day, that doesn't mean for hours. It means they somehow became attached to Jesus. They began with a question, and Jesus looks at them, "What are you looking for?" And they say, "Well, where do you stay? Where do you live?" And they go and spend time with him. Well, that's part of vocation, to spend time with the Lord. And when you spend time with the Lord, you will be led. You'll be led to forgiving the sinner. You will be led to accepting your own humanity, to embrace your own humanity. It's part of my second half of life vocation, to see God's presence in my humanity, to walk with sinners, to find forgiveness, the generous statement of God, to include people who might have been excluded before. This is second half of life vocation. It's to walk with Jesus in the journey. Now, when the disciples first follow Jesus, they're ambitious. They think he's going to save the people of Israel. He's going to have a worldly kingdom. They become disillusioned. They become depressed. Some of them leave him. But those that walk with him must suffer. They must go through this darkness, which will lead them to light and to new life and a new freedom. That's what it means to look at vocation in your life. It will be born out of confusion. It will be born out of darkness. It will be born out of the hungers of your soul. But sometime in your life, when you arrive at a place where there's an inner disturbance in your life, and you'll find that all the things that you possess and all the things that you achieved in life really come up empty. They don't speak to the deepest yearnings of your spirit. When that happens to you, then you are beginning to sense the call of vocation. Now, I got that very much in my reflections this week, that somehow I have to find a sense of fulfillment and peace in my own humanity and find that God is present to me when I am most human. This is the God who ate with sinners, the God who included people who were excluded by the law and by religion of his time. This was the God who said, "I will suffer for you, and I will call you to suffer for others." This is the God who will sacrifice and call us who follow him to sacrifice in his name. I want you to think about that in your own life. Vocation doesn't come once, it comes many times in life. Mother Teresa probably is a recent example of a call within a call. She was called to be a sister of Loreto teaching in Calcutta, and she felt a deeper call within the call and a second vocation. This happens very frequently. I think it happens to all of us at some time in life that we feel a certain kind of animation inside of us to understand ourselves in a deeper way and to interpret the kindness and the great love of God in our lives, when we sense our humanity. James Joyce, I think, had something like this in mind in The Portrait, where he says, "Welcome, O life. I go for the millionth time to encounter the reality of experience and to forge in the smithy of my soul the uncreated conscience of my race." There's something we have to forge inside ourselves, somehow to move into new space, to have a new experience of vocation, the kindness, the embrace, the wonder of being truly human. Amen.
me to see your face. Imago Dei, the image of God, God's image. Hey, Holy Family, this is Jesse Manabusin from Jesse Manabusin Ministries. January 20th through the 24th, I'm going to be visiting your parish. I'm going to be spending time at all of your masses to help encourage folks to come out for our Festival of Faith. Yes, it's a Festival of Faith. It's for everyone. It's for the youngest. It's for the eldest. It's for everyone in between. Invite your friends. Invite your family members. This is a great time to renew, to consider Imago Dei, to consider the image of God before us in every circumstance of life, in small ways, in big ways. We will do it with songs and stories and humor. It's really simply evangelization. But with an engaging, a new and engaging way to encourage and to inspire, to catechize. It'll have an impact on your life and my life, on the life of our families. It'll have an impact on your corner of the world and will ripple throughout the rest of the world. So, Festival of Faith, January 20th. Through the 24th. Check your bulletins. This is Jesse Manabusin saying, I can't wait to participate in the Festival of Faith, Imago Dei, coming your way at the end of January. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see. God bless.